Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. You know, Rex, when shortly after the inauguration of President Trump, I said something like, you know, right after the Women's March, I think I said something about like the streets running with menstrual blood. I may have texted that to you.
I recall that.
As I'm thinking about it, I'm pretty sure I did text that to you and several others. But I would like to say that it seems to be the case that, in fact, the Christmas trees are that instead, because Melania Trump has unveiled yet another year of her splendid White House decorations. And I would like to say, at no point do I think she actually did the decorating, but you know, you pick it out.
She guided it.
She guided it. At some point she had to say, yes, that is beautiful. That's what I would like to do.
Let's make this as creepy as we possibly can.
Because if you recall, last year was like a haunted house.
Yeah.
Like weird wiggly twigs and dramatic uplighting that was casting horrible shadows. And everybody just said, oh, that's a cry for help. This year, it's straight up, as I'm sure you have all seen by now, straight up blood red Christmas trees with nothing else on
just
them.
Just a hallway full of
them. Full of these really ominous looking red trees. And they're so weird looking, and it's so not... I mean, it's so like Dr. Seussian to see a red tree that it almost you almost expect them to move, to open their eyes and wiggle around.
It's amazing. And you know, it's not a... I mean, this is nitpicking probably, but, you know, Christmas red is usually a little bit brighter.
Cheerier.
Yeah, a little cheerier. These are like blood. These are
Look,
blood red.
I don't know from Christmas, but I'm here to tell you that ain't it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a stunning. And again, I think a deep psychological outcry. From the depths of her subconscious.
I mean, let's say at no point has she shown, at least to my satisfaction, that she is a woman of great taste.
Yes. No, definitely not.
She's worn some beautiful clothing.
Yeah. But this
She's got pretty good hair days.
Yeah, this is
Otherwise, she's really screwing it up on the good taste o-meter.
Although, look at Trump's, you know, home when you the pictures of his apartment in Manhattan
the gold toilets and whatnot
sure that taste is exactly a high priority among them.
What's the most ostentatious thing I can do right now?
Yeah,
I'll do
exactly.
that exactly. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be I don't know, it's no big deal. I mean, if I was the first lady and I had to put up a bunch of Christmas trees, I would be like, well, first of all, I would be like, that's not shaped like a menorah. No, I would be like, because I'm going to do all of those things as a first lady because you represent everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But also, who the hell am I kidding? I wouldn't be the first lady. I'd be the damn president.
There are you talking.
But if I found myself as first lady, which is hilarious to think about, you know, some regular ass trees with some nice little twinkly lights. Girl, you done.
Yeah.
That's exactly. All you got to do.
Right.
Make it look sparkly and people will be like, there's a beautiful first lady doing her first lady hospitality shit, blah, da, blah, blah, blah.
Like, whatever you think of Christmas one way or the other, making Christmas stuff look...
Make it as ugly as
possible? No. Making Christmas stuff look pretty is not hard. I mean, you can do a nice, attractive, Christmas decoration, and that's not a difficult thing to do. In fact, I would argue it's pretty hard to screw that up. And the thing that I love is all of the Trump supporters out there who are now forced to look at this scene in the White House and applaud it and say how much they love it. When had Michelle Obama trotted out a bunch of blood red things, she would have been just, you know, pilloried to the ends of the earth.
To the ends of the earth.
So, and now they're going to all look at that and be like, oh, yeah, I really like that. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't
no,
like
you
that
don't.
At all.
No, you don't.
Don't lie.
It's
Stop lying.
It's extremely ugly.
Yes.
Extremely ugly.
And jarring. Like,
it's jarring. It's ugly. It's definitely not a cheery red. It's a very bloodbathian sort of look.
Well, did you see what the internet reacted brilliantly to that? And did you see somebody put Handmaid's Tale hats, white hats on all the trees.
Oh, that's perfect.
And then somebody, there's a picture of her walking along the hallway and somebody cut her out and put Darth Vader in. And then the best was the two little girls from The Shining at the end. Put them at the end of the hallway.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's
that's what it looks like. It's really creepy.
And here's the thing: whether or not you celebrate Christmas, I can be the first to admit it's a very beautiful holiday. Like everything's done up and it's sparkly and twinkly. It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
And festive looking.
Yeah, that's what I mean. How do you take that and make it dark? It's like, you know, unless you're. Oh God, who am I thinking about? Who did The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Jack Skellington.
Yeah, right. And who's the Tim Burton? Yeah, mm-hmm. Unless you're Tim Burton, you can't really take that and make it haunting. So,
well, I was thinking of like in that movie, if you recall, Jack Skellington was so excited by Christmas, he co-opted it and brought it to Halloween Town,
right. Mm-hmm.
And made it like super creepy.
Yeah,
with like heads and boxes and crap like that. And I feel like that's what's occurred here.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we're doing.
She has skellingtoned the holiday.
She done fucked it up is what she did.
Yeah, that too.
So there's that. Mm. So now that we've talked about trees for 48 minutes,
yes,
let's talk about some other things.
Yes. Guth and Hupke on interior decorating. Tacky.
Nobody wants to hear that. We just sit around and criticize people's appearance in homes. That'd be a great podcast. Yeah, Trump's hair was like extra cotton candy-y today.
Did you see Mitch McConnell's blazer? Ugh.
Well, we haven't been on in a while, and I feel like we got a few less tweets about this time, so I'm kind of angry at our 9 listeners.
Yeah, seriously, y'all went silent on us, man.
They found some other. They're cheating on us with another podcast. It's fine.
That's how it
it's
goes.
Fine.
We're coming back with a vengeance now.
That's right, we are. You know, we're going to have a couple of like stop starts for the rest of the year because of holidays and whatnot, but we're good, and then, you know, hitting it strong in the new year.
Boom.
Remember when they were like, hey, Guth and Hupke, do y'all want to like talk about politics a little bit leading up to the election? And then we just kept showing up every week.
Yes, exactly.
For years.
It's Guth and Hupke still on politics.
We're celebrating our 20th year. Yeah. Still discussing this crap.
Guth and Hupke again with the politics.
I'm here for that. I can't wait. We could do it. Yeah, it's like we name eras of it, like a final reunion tours of bands and shit like that. Yeah, still enough with the politics already. Right. You two again? What? Yeah, that's
we're the Rocky franchise of podcasts here.
So yeah, we are.
Never stops.
I don't love that, but yeah, that's great. That's what we are. Okay, so I'm just gonna cross this off my list: Melania and blood trees.
There you
crossing
go.
That off.
Excellent.
Let's see, shall we go the shit show at the U.S. border, or shall we go to Mueller?
So many shit shows, so little podcasting
so
time.
So little podcast. Yeah. No, we have 25 years.
Let's talk about the border, because, you know, that's just a, Jesus, like, what have we become kind of a thing, I think, at this point, and we seem to now be okay with, you know, throwing tear gas at kids and separating kids. I don't know if you saw this. The AP had a really, really good investigation that just came out, and it was accompanied by a report from the Department of Health and Human Services watchdog. I forget what they're called. Anyway, but the watchdog arm of the Department of Health and Human Services found that the camp in Texas where they are keeping a large number of kids, these are not kids that were separated from their parents. These are kids that came in trying to reunite with family members in the U.S. and were detained while there's a process of, you know, making sure the family member is legit and all that sort of stuff. But they're being held for unusually large amounts of time now. And there's
what is the usual time?
Usually it's like 24 days.
Okay.
But it's stretched out a lot more into like 2 to 3 months or more,
wow,
depending. So they're being held in these. It's just a giant tent camp in southern Texas. And what they found was that there's, I think, 1,500 some odd employees, 1,300 or 1,500 employees. They have not been doing FBI background checks on any of the employees, meaning that they could be missing all kinds of stuff. I mean, the background checks that they're doing are very, not very deep, right? So they don't do a comprehensive background search on any of the people
working.
Googled
them. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. And so that's horrifying. And they're supposed to, they're required by Health and Human Services rules to have one psychologist/counselor per, I believe it's 12 children. They have one per 100 children.
Oh, well, everyone's needs are going to get met that way.
Yeah. And making and what makes that worse is the fact that these kids are now being held longer, so they're under a tremendous amount of stress.
24 days would freak anyone out.
Sure. Yeah, of course. But
that would freak a very well, balanced adult out.
Yeah.
But a child... It's and just, then add in days to that. That's a lot.
Yeah. And these are, I believe it was 13 to 17 years old. So, they're kids. I mean, and that's what I think is the problem here, to be honest, is I think somehow we went from children, which at least one would think we all care about and think should be protected.
One would think.
To migrant children and, illegal children or... unaccompanied minors, and I feel like something in that has just dehumanized them to the point where people can see images of kids running away from tear gas at the border and think, good, I like that.
Right.
That's what we should be doing. And look, the border issue is extremely complicated, and I think everybody on both sides tries to simplify it a lot. I mean, personally, I don't think that people should be, squeezing through fencing and running into the country. I agree that that is not something that should happen, technically speaking. And I understand that when something like that happens, the Border Patrol, whose job it is literally to protect the border, needs to do something. Now, personally, I would say if there's kids there, you shouldn't be throwing tear gas. You should find another. I don't know what it is you can do, but you do something that isn't that. And you certainly – and obviously not shooting them. So I feel like as a – I mean we are the – as like this wealthy, powerful nation that's apparently so exceptional, it seems we could figure out some sort of a reasonable way to deal with that. But people are looking at it like, no, good. I'm glad. That's my Christmas card. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So
yeah, like Tomi Lahren made that comment about – what did she say? She said – something about this made my Thanksgiving, seeing this, like these pictures. Like, she's gross.
She's horrible. Terrible. Yeah, she's utterly horrible.
I really enjoyed when she had that picture of that gun in her yoga pants. And
yes.
There were so many comments about like shooting your vulva.
Yeah, that's no way to deal with a yeast infection. What are you doing?
Not that I want anyone to shoot themselves in the vulva, but that made me laugh.
Yeah, she's perverse.
I want to back up to like the semantics part of that a little bit because I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Because, as I say in every damn episode, language matters so much, and I think it is more key than we realize that we have gotten away from the word children, and I think it's really important to call that. Like, as with, and I was thinking of other examples of this that we see very commonly, like saying a homeless guy versus someone experiencing homelessness, a sex worker versus someone doing sex work. An inmate versus an incarcerated person, right? Like those things matter because the word, and people roll their eyes and scoff at this, but it's not insignificant.
No.
Because to say like inmate totally dehumanizes a human being who is, possibly, paying for a crime that they committed, but also possibly not and taking the rap for something. There's a lot of reasons one can go to jail. Many of them are racist and classist and real shitty and fake. So there's that. But I think that we should be very careful about the way that we talk about what is happening at the border in the same way that like we've talked many times on this show about the way we talk about the people that make up the press and what that and the M word and all that, and I feel like people are everyone's so tired at this point that I'm hearing it more and more. I mean, I'm hearing other journalists say the media and all the time. I'm like, guys, stop doing that. We cannot let off that. We cannot let off.
You're right. It is. Yeah. And it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, that is definitely a problem. That's a pervasive problem, but you're right. I mean, it's a step towards dehumanizing people. It's easy to say, or maybe hopefully not easy, but it's one thing to say, that inmate got beaten to death and good riddance. It's another thing to say, that human being or was beaten to death.
Incarcerated man was beaten to death.
Yeah.
Is a very different sentence than inmate beaten to death.
Or somebody's child, or somebody's husband or right. somebody's whatever was beaten to death, you know? So, yeah. And that's what I think. I think that's what's happening. Because I honestly don't understand. I don't see how there can be this many people in this country who look at these children and are so dismissive, you know, and don't want them here and refuse to recognize that what they're running from is serious. And,
that's right.
You know, that they're, people do not walk 2,000 miles to get a good job. Necessarily. You know, people are, they're fleeing for their lives. And yet, you know, look, again, yeah, I am 100% sure that among all of the people, there are going to be some bad people, just as I'm sure that
is
any
the case
place
in
I
the
go,
White
yeah,
House.
Right. Or the building that we're in right now, there are some bad people. I mean, that's just yeah. the way, you know, that's just percentages. So fine.
Like nobody has the corner on right. assholery.
Sure. And, yeah, it's not like...
You know, terrible behavior.
Right. It's not like if we only allow people from Norway in, they're right. all going to be perfect. You know, like there's going to be some bad Norwegians too.
Although I recently sat next to a very nice Norwegian man on a very long flight, and he was very nice to talk with.
Lovely people. But
he's a lovely man.
but there's still going to be some bad ones out there. Sorry to all of our Norwegian listeners, but it's just... this way. So, you know, I think that they just keep falling back on these excuses and acting like as a large, wealthy, sophisticated country, we don't have the capacity to deal with what is 5,000 people in a country this size? That's nothing.
Right.
You know, we sent 5,000 troops down to the border and we were able to, you know,
that was so crazy.
Feed, clothe, yeah. do everything. You know, we were able to basically create a small city overnight practically, and we can't bring these people in, properly screen them, give them an opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's just ridiculous.
Well, there's even another piece I think is getting lost a lot. And that is, like, if you are seeking asylum, you have to present yourself at the border. That's the key thing you have to do.
Right.
And even that is getting so lost. Like, every time Trump talks about it, he's talking about, like, these people showing up at the border. Like, that's what you must do in order to seek asylum.
Right.
You're a dumbass.
Yeah.
I mean, and let's talk about him for a minute, because I know. And I realize we have been talking about him for now a couple of years. And we keep saying this man's unhinged. But this man at this point is next level unhinged. He's so, you can tell he's shitting bricks and freaking out. And it's, you know, it's like... it's like a time bomb, I feel like. He's just, because he's so erratic and he says ridiculous things. But the problem is, even when we fact check him, even when, you know, he was recently confronted by a reporter to his face and fact checked, and he, you know, of course he loved that because he has such a giving ego and mm-hmm. and such an open mind, whatever, that even when he is fact checked, later, you can unring a bell, and if you like the guy and you're on his side, it does. It only takes him saying it once, and then it's out as he said this, you know, and suddenly becomes like the narrative of a group of his base.
Yeah, yeah.
And you immediately see this. Like, there's one dude on Twitter that I've seen a few times. He'll kind of troll the internet anytime something's happening. Like the day of the Pittsburgh shooting, he was clearly trolling for the word Jews mm-hmm. and just, you know, taking pot shots at us verbally on Great. Twitter and just being a piece of shit. But I've seen him do this for other things. Like he'll just look at a keyword that day and just kind of be a piece of crap, as many of the like red pill incel weirdos will.
Yeah. Right.
Where in the hell was I going with that? I got so mad at that guy every time I mentioned that.
Just about people like taking what he says as gospel, basically.
And I, you know, you see it every time. Like Trump will say a thing that is stupid and inaccurate and sometimes totally preposterous. And then within 24 hours, if not less, there's like his base talking about it in such a, those like nerds that try to use like CSI speak and always feel like they're in the know about some big conspiracy because they, you know, have a fucking AOL account, like
right.
those guys.
Yeah.
Like that guy is on the internet just saying, like trying to pull together some dumb shit to back his bro Trump up. And it's so dumb, and it's so crazy.
It's insane. And by the time, like, I see that in the email that I get when I write columns. I mean, it's cemented almost instantly.
Absolutely.
And so I push back, and the response is just regurgitating his crap.
That's right.
And like you said, finding other things that sort of back up what he's saying, which don't are unrelated or just nonsense or what have you. But, and it's just too much. You know, what do you do? I mean, you can't. I mean, if I responded to every knucklehead that emails me to try to correct them, it would be pointless,
job.
Right, and be a full-time job. So, he's flailing. It's just so transparently obvious right now, and we don't know exactly what he knows about what's coming, but there's certainly strong indications that something's coming that he's not happy about, because, you know, even for him, this is, I mean, it's clearly been getting worse.
Oh, definitely, know? Definitely.
There was a interesting thread on Twitter by someone, and I don't know if this person, I don't know their credentials exactly, but it was thought-provoking nonetheless. This was a person who claimed to be very familiar with narcissistic personality disorder, mm-hmm. and I don't know if that was from personal experience or from professional experience or what, but anyway, but just as a sort of a explanation, went on and on about what happens when someone with narcissistic personality disorder knows that they are about to be
like someone's exposed. Dropped the dime on them.
Well, yeah, basically, like you said, that the thing that they fear more than anything is shame from and being disliked and being shamed by other people, and that is like pouring boiling water on them psychologically. It's mm-hmm. So they lash out dramatically.
Okay,
and will do just anything to deflect. I mean, it's like I think they compared it to like a, you know, trying to pull a drunk who's starting a fight out of a bar. You know, they're just flailing around, just wildly lashing out at anything, lying, doing whatever, not paying any attention to any honesty or truth mm-hmm. or anything like that. And so this person said, you know, something has triggered that in him, and you know, the knowledge that there's something coming and there's nothing he can do about it to stop it is going to. Basically, they said you just have to sit back and watch and as it plays out, because he's just losing it, you know. And I just thought it was interesting. Again, I don't mm-hmm. know if it, I mean, that's all speculative, whatever, but it is kind of interesting because, you know, there's, I don't know exactly when it happened. I mean, since the midterms, he's been
particularly
worse.
Unhinged, yeah.
And I think, I feel like it's gotten worse since then as well.
Yeah.
The amount of lying that's going on, just the nonsense. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Washington Post had an interview with him yesterday, and it's just bananas.
Yeah,
you know, he talked about how, you know, like, well, what I feel in my gut is usually a lot more accurate than what comes out of most people's minds. And he was talking about global warming stuff, where they've, you know, his own administration put out this damning report about global warming, about climate change.
Yeah.
And
another semantics issue.
Right,
important to say climate change.
Yeah. Although it actually does deal with warm. I mean, but yeah, still. And he just says, "I don't believe it." And he's talking about, you know, like the pollution coming from other countries like India and China that aren't doing as much to control things. And he's like, and you know, it's going over the ocean, and you know, the oceans are very small. And it's like, what? The president of the United States just said
the
oceans
are
small.
Small.
I was like, what the fuck? I mean, he's just a lunatic. Like, it's absolutely, you know, it strains credulity. Is that how you pronounce it? Credulity? Anyway.
I just want to watch you say that.
Yeah, thanks.
See
okay.
What happens.
Yeah, right. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, no, it's for anybody to be able to watch him and pay attention to any of this and not acknowledge that he's just a shit-talking moron is, you know, at this point,
right.
It's just, it's really hard for me to you know, get past that. If somebody is like, yeah, well, he just talks straight. You know, he's not a politician. He just says it. Like, I'm like, no.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, this guy's
still
a moron.
Like, with that? Like, he's
right.
not a
he's
smart
saying
guy.
Things that are absolutely moronic.
He's
you know?
Not an intelligent person.
Right. Exactly.
And nobody has ever thought, wow, what a brilliant scholar.
Yeah.
And then people go, well, he went to Wharton or whatever.
Right.
Like,
I'm like,
well,
come on, man.
His check cleared. Like many MBA programs, if your check clears, you're good.
Yeah. And again, I mean, and look, if you're happy with, you know, the policies and you're happy with the judges and the Supreme Court and all that stuff, you know, okay, good for you. Be happy about that.
But also those people are probably not listening to us, just FYI.
Yeah, I know. But still, it's just, but I think this is what, you know, and one of the things, you try to, like, sometimes I try to think about, okay, when I write columns about this, I know I'm not changing the minds of people that support him. Although if I'm making them have even a back of their mind thought, then I consider that a victory. But a lot of times I think what I'm writing is to help the people who are like me and just are feel like the world is turned sideways, to help people understand that they aren't alone and that there are other people who see this for the nonsense it is. So, yeah, I just, but, you know, yeah, we're to the point where I just, I mean, at the very least, I wish people who support what he's doing or has done, you know, the outcomes of this sort of stuff would just be like, yeah, I know he's bonkers and an idiot, but, you know, I got the judges I wanted. Mm-hmm. Just be honest about it.
Yeah, just say. Yeah.
You know, at this point, if it's utilitarian in that regard, then, you know, screw you because he's doing untold damage to this country, but at least you're being honest, you know, so, as opposed to, no, he's a great man. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. He's making great deals. So
nope.
What?
Sure not. I mean, do you think that he, and this is like us playing armchair shrink here, but like, do you think that, because I agreed with your analysis there, that like since the midterms has gotten progressively more, you know, unhinged, I get this feeling though that he I'm sure knows like the screws are turning, but just looking at his behavior, like when something is about to happen, he cannot sit still. He can't not do something big that he thinks is like a counter move to preempt it.
Yeah.
That's his tell. So I don't think he knows. I think he knows like shit is starting, but I don't think he could possibly know everything. Otherwise, he'd be doing way more reactive stuff.
I actually think what just happened is with the, you know, Paul Manafort apparently has lied to the special counsel's group and to the FBI possibly. And so they're trying to negate his plea deal. And that happened after Trump had turned in written answers to Mueller's questions, which makes me think that Trump, you know, I think it's hilarious to me because the excuse that Trump gave for not being interviewed by Mueller was that whole idea of a perjury trap.
That's right.
Which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, that's basically just, I'm going to lie, is what you're saying. But instead, they submitted written answers, and now I think there's a very good chance that he will have perjured himself in the written answers because I think whatever, you know, I think he and Manafort probably had to have their stories more or less straight. And now Manafort's been boinked for lying, which shows Mueller has evidence to prove that he was lying about something. Anyway, you know, it's all speculative, of course, but yeah, something's just gone sideways. And these guys are just not. Mueller is very, and again, you know, Mueller's a lifetime. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I would probably disagree with much of Mueller's opinions on things, I would guess. But he's a very smart, very professional person.
Definitely.
And these guys are mullet heads, and they are not going to outfox this guy. So,
no. If this is a battle of wits, you are woefully underarmed.
And not just him. I mean, there's a, you know, all of these people. You know, I mean, he's got all of these attorneys. I mean, these
very
are all
smart people with
very,
him.
Very smart people. And they're making, I'm sure, you know, doing everything they can to kind of lay this out in a way that it can't be stopped. And they've thought, I mean, whatever Trump and his gang are thinking, I think Mueller's people have thought 27 steps ahead of them. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, something. But I think that reality maybe is becoming a little more clear.
Dawn,
I think Trump felt for a long time like, I know. Trust me. Part of the deal, man, whatever. And now I think he's kind of like, rut-row.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm here for that. Oh, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it can't come soon enough because, I mean, and I don't know what will happen. I mean, at the end, who knows what's going to happen? We really have no idea. But, you know, I don't know. Do they, the chances of them trying to actually directly come after a sitting president are slim. But what if they, you know, nab Donald Jr.?
I would enjoy that very much.
Oh, Lordy.
That guy.
He's the worst.
God, he's the worst.
And I really try to be careful like from a moral standpoint about wishing ill on people. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a good policy.
Yeah, I really do. And because it's easy to get wrapped up in our emotions and get fired up.
But there's a difference in like grave dancing.
Right.
And being glad to see justice being
served. Exactly.
And that's a difference.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I think that's an important distinction to make. It's not like, yeah, that guy's, you know, he's fallen. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Some people might approach that way, but also like the, it's more than just this like dumbass family of grifters, which it is, but it's more than that. It's also like major injustice to the American people and beyond. We are not popular in other parts of the world right now.
Yeah,
you know, and it's dangerous. I mean, anytime you say like, anytime you assume that an entire nation is behind its leader, you have problems. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, we see this playing out in many places in the world right now. But, you know, so you can't say like the Americans think this, the Americans do this. Mm-hmm. You can just say people who support the current administration.
Right.
But yeah. Not good.
Yeah. And, you know, Trump Jr. has done some just fundamentally despicable things. Like, I mean, he's gone after like transgender kids at a college.
Yeah.
I mean, he just does.
He goes out of his way to be a piece of crap.
He's just a massive douche. Not even a douche. That's actually
douche.
Too kind. I mean,
it is. Yeah.
He's evil.
Yeah, I was gonna say because it's more than just like being a douche and I don't care if I offend you or I don't care if I'm a dick to you. It's like I'm going to go out of my way to be a bad person.
Yeah,
to you.
Right.
And that's different. That's beyond douchey.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to talk about, you know, your policies and that sort of thing. It's even to talk about, you know, maybe you're not into political, maybe you don't like political correctness for whatever reason, and that's your argument somehow. You can do that without being a complete asshole. I mean, and I know you know what I'm saying though. Like, there's a way to at least have that argument without.
But I
like,
haven't heard anyone do it.
Well, I know, but I mean, he's doing it while like attacking transgender kids.
That's right. Like, and he's almost like, enjoying.
Right.
It seems like he's relishing the process of being a piece of shit.
In other words, it's not just having a belief that this country is too quote unquote politically correct and having like a, you know, some form of an intellectual argument to prove your point. It's, I think they're too politically correct. And to show how I feel about that, I'm going to go after people of color and people who are different than me. And I'm going to insult immigrants and I'm going to, you know, make sexist comments. You know, it's male entitlement, frankly, to the complete grotesque extreme. But anyway, yeah, I hope he gets what's coming to him. Whatever that is.
Well, you know how I feel about white male entitlement.
Yeah.
As I have voiced many times on this program.
So I've heard.
Word on the street is Guth's not on board with any of that, which I'm not. Speaking of entitlement, I would like to talk about Cindy Hyde-Smith for a minute. esteemed, I'm doing that air quotes, esteemed senator who has... Well, she said some very terrible things, and lots of brands and, you know, people, companies that have donated to her are like, yeah, no, I want that money back.
Yeah.
I love that. That's been exciting to watch because, again, that's not grave dancing. That's like, you fucked up and people are holding you accountable. That's the thing. Like, accountability is delightful when people say such just like trashy, hateful, destructive things.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like heartening because Trump has said so many shitty things and his people have said so many shitty things and there's no checks and balances. And frankly, like the point we're at in this moment with Me Too, there's so much that people still get away with by saying like, oh, it was a joke, I was joking, or, you know, and say really reprehensible things. So I'm loving kind of this wave of accountability right now.
Well, and I hope they follow through too, because she's elected now, which was predictable because it's Mississippi. And but, you know, I mean, I hope that Mississippi pays a price for that personally, because I mean, she's an outright racist. I mean, they're just, you know,
Who does she look like? She looks like some actress.
Oh, yeah. Somebody on Twitter, I did that the other day. I can't remember who it is, but it was really funny. But yeah, she's a dead ringer for an actress who is a very nice person and not a mean person. But yeah, that was... And, you know, I don't... It's just a lot of really bad people getting winning things.
Well, it's always kind of been that way.
Yeah, but. I mean the midterms were great, and it's funny too because we haven't recorded much since then. But it's been sort of like the slowest wave in history. But really now I think they're up to 40 seats in the House. Mm-hmm. Like this was really a massive win.
I don't need it to be a wave. I just need change.
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't need it to be a big wave. I don't need it to be dramatic. I don't need it. I don't, you know, it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be, you know, beautifully, gracefully done. I just need to work.
Yeah, exactly. So it was it was progress. I mean, you know, the Mississippi thing last night, that sucks. But again, I certainly didn't expect Mississippi to, you know, do the right thing. But a lot of really good people won in the midterms, and it's going to make a big difference. And that's, of course, part of Trump's current fear, because mm-hmm. January, as soon as you get the Democrats in there, man, they're coming after him. And that's another thing that keeps getting debated a lot. Some people are like, well, Democrats need to, you know, play it cool and not go overboard. And I'm like, fuck that. I mean, they need to go after. I mean, this guy is a menace.
What is the argument for trying to, like,
just play it'll cool? turn opinion against them, you know, if they go too hard after a sitting president. And I'm like, no, that's your job. I mean, there are things happening right now. Like, what is, you know?
That's just one of those, like, arbitrary manners thing, like,
right.
About respect. And that's a whole other thing about, like, with, I think, male entitlement, wealthy male entitlement, in particular from white men, this mm-hmm. whole thing about, like, respect is just a thing they deserve to have. Listen to me, motherfuckers. Respect is earned.
Yeah.
And I don't know you, and you haven't done shit to impress me, and I have no reason to respect you. And I would say that to a person I know or a public official. Like, that's not how the world works.
Sure.
And this, like, you know, you better show me some respect. It gets real racist and sexist and classist real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me real mad because I see it and hear it all the time. These, like, wealthy old white guys just demanding this respect, like, you ain't done shit. I'm gonna treat everybody like a human being. I'm not gonna, like, be a piece of shit to anybody unless they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I've just met you, therefore I deserve your respect. Get the fuck out of here is what.
Right.
And I that came up not too long ago, probably like a month and a half ago for me, like in a really, you know, big and direct way in a conversation, and it was really offensive and it was really gross and it was really just about, it came down and I pushed back of, like, you know, why should that be the case? And it was really just amounted to, like, because I'm a woman
mm-hmm.
and I owed this man respect. And I was like, well, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave now. Like, I'm going to walk away from this conversation because you have some fucked up white supremacy ideas and I do not wish to hear them anymore.
Yeah. Good for you. I agree. The idea that the Democrats should hold anything back right now, I don't agree, man. I mean, look at what's happening. Like, I mean, there's so many things to it. The only thing I'm worried about is that they don't have enough hours in the day because so much stuff. I mean, you know, I want to know why the troops were sent to the border. That was clearly a political gambit that cost millions and millions of dollars. Not to mention, you know, screwed up all kinds of issues in the lives of the soldiers that had to go down there. Then, you know, the Khashoggi dismemberment. That's right. You know, like,
we haven't talked about that.
Yeah, what are his financial ties with Saudi Arabia and Kushner's financial ties? I mean, good Lord. And there's just so much stuff. This is all so ass backwards at this point that, I mean, I think they need to go start opening up everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how it kind of feels right now, that we just need to, you know, open the junk drawer, dump it out on the counter, go through everything, because there's just too much crap in there to see clearly.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, I think that's kind of everything right now. I just feel like radical transparency is what is, and not in a partisan way, like, just everybody.
Right. Yeah.
There's so much secrecy and weirdness and bullshit, and I'm not here for it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, did you hear about this Democrat here in Illinois who I wrote a column about this morning. This is what sidetracked me from, I was going to write about the kids at the border, but this was kind of a local thing that I just couldn't let stand. She's a lawmaker from Oswego, and they, you know, the deaths of veterans from Legionnaires' disease down in Quincy from a few years ago, the Illinois lawmakers were debating a bill that would allow the families of the victims, it would raise the amount of money that they could get in lawsuits that they're okay. pursuing considerably. And there's a conservative Republican lawmaker who was speaking in opposition to that. And his argument involved, like, you know, what is the cost that, you know, the cost to the state is this going to be? And plus they might be able to sue in like different ways. And he was making like sort of a, your basic conservative That's argument right. of like, what about the money
over people?
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually know this guy, his name's Peter Breen. He used to be a lawyer for the Thomas More Society. Mm-hmm, and, you know, he's someone who he was very nice, very smart guy. We disagree on literally everything, I think, but you know, nice, you know, whatever. Right. He's a nice person. Sure. You know, he has his views. I have mine. She, this woman, Stephanie Kifowit from Oswego said, Breen, I would like to make him a broth of Legionella and pump it into the water system of his loved one so that they can be infected, they can be mistreated, they can sit and suffer by getting aspirin instead of being properly treated and ultimately die.
Wow, goddamn, that's quite a thing to say.
I was like, holy shit, what is this, man? Are you kind of... And that's the sort of thing where, like, you say that and then you're like, oh God, I'm so sorry. I did not mean, I don't know what, I mean, I understand, look, this is I understand her anger. She's a Marine veteran, actually. Yeah. I get it. It was a horrible thing that happened. No question.
Right.
I think people need to pay for
but
that.
But there's another way to make that statement.
Right. I mean, you're wishing, like, what the hell is that? This guy, Peter, has two adopted daughters and he's married. And I mean, like, what the hell kind of thing is that to say?
If you had experience with this, right. you would know
right.
that these were the conditions. This is this,
yes.
and this is what occurred.
Exactly.
Not,
I wish
you.
Right.
That's terrible.
It was horrible. And so, and she didn't apologize right away. And in fact, she lied and tried to say that, oh no, I made it clear. I said, you know, if you imagine what it would be like. She didn't say that. There's
no,
video. I mean, I was like,
different.
So it wasn't until my column posted early this morning, and of course there were other news stories about it and a lot of outrage on social media. And so late this morning, she sent out a statement apologizing.
Is it a useful one or is
it was
it like
okay. Yeah, I mean, it was
bullshit.
Fine. I mean, it was a sincere enough apology, which is good, but I'm like, you should have done that 3 seconds after this happened.
Yeah.
And then you lied about it. I mean, so anyway, it was all very Trumpian, I thought. And it's bad to see that. And again, this is a nonpartisan thing as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't want to see anybody. I agree with her stance on that issue and probably agree with her on a lot of other things from a sort of liberal standpoint. But what the hell? I mean, what an awful...
Why would you say that?
That was just an awful thing to say.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's worse than, you know... It's one of the worst things I've ever heard coming out of a politician's mouth. I mean, it was just absolutely horrendous. And but then, you know, to see that react, that's what I hate so much. I mean, even with Trump, you know, he could have found a way to reset after he was elected,
mm-hmm.
even though a lot of people, myself included, would have not taken it. It wouldn't have been good enough still. But I mean, he could have reset and said, you know what, you know, sorry, that tone that I've had has been, you know, I need to.
But I think he's proud of that tone.
Right, he is.
I don't think he is feeling like, gosh, I'm really a schmuck out there in the world. I think he's really like, I'm a badass. Like that
right.
guy, you know, he probably looks in the mirror at night while he's brushing his teeth or taking out his dentures probably.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, that's the first thing in the morning and last thing at night. That's you have to face yourself mm-hmm. and look at yourself in the mirror and take account of your day.
Yeah.
Unless you're a complete sociopath, which he might be.
Right.
But, you know, at some point you have to... At least some part of you is clear on, like, how am I doing?
Yeah.
How do I feel? And I just cannot imagine that he's like, I should really reel it in
oh,
and be
no.
nicer
no,
to people.
He
he's probably
great.
Like, flexing in the mirror.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
the fucking man.
Yeah.
I'm so badass. All the women want me. All the dudes want to be me.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Also, I would like to say I've never heard a woman be like, bring me off a piece of that. Not once.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know, but I just have, I don't like see. I mean, that's mimicking kind of his approach to things.
That's
right. I don't want to see that from anybody. I mean, again, Democrat, Republican, or otherwise. It's so toxic and it's so bad. So that's why I was so just kind of outraged by that. I mean, probably more outraged. I mean, I would have been outraged no matter who said that. But I think the fact that it was a Democrat made me even angrier. Because I'm like, what are you doing?
That's
like,
some Republican shit. Well, what are you doing?
Yeah, even Republicans aren't that. I mean, honestly, that was horrible. Like, that was just, anyway.
Yeah, it's like that's something we expect from, like, Trump's inner circle.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah. Trump Jr. That's Trump Jr.
That is total.
Right,
that's a total Trump Jr. move.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Although even I don't even
maybe
know.
Maybe a Scott Pruitt move. It seems like kind of a thing.
No, he's more into the lotion and stuff. You know, you gotta find.
I kind of miss that guy. I got a lot of mileage out of ripping that guy on the show.
I know what he's doing.
He was like my personal like pin cushion. I love to rip on that guy just because, you know, he was heading an agency that I care about.
Yeah.
Know, that matters a lot. And he was such a piece of shit.
He really was. Although now the problem probably is that we don't even think about who's running it now, and they're just doing shit. So
that's right.
You know, so, yikes.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Good times. Let's see.
Woo!
What other things shall we pluck from the fire and look at? And by fire, I mean the burning tire fire of a country.
Of what remains of America.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all too much at times.
I liked the Civil War is approaching narrative that was going on right before Thanksgiving on social media from the Trumpian base. That was kind of interesting. Like, we're leading to a civil war. Like, are we?
Yeah.
Are you
sure about that? Maybe you are.
Maybe you are.
You guys are into that kind of thing.
Stockpiling some militia things.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
Sure.
I mean.
No, it is. They just found another guy out in California, actually, who had apparently a massive arsenal. Like, you know, 50 different firearms with a ton of ammo and all kinds of stuff, and of course some Nazi paraphernalia, as they often have.
I think guns maybe come wrapped in it sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a BOGO sale.
Yeah,
if you buy certain weapons, I'm sure you can get
a
discount. Offended our like easygoing gun crowd of listeners.
Sorry.
I don't think you're all Nazis. I'm just saying sometimes when there's someone stockpiling like a bunch of weapons, there's often some Nazi stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is the talk about something that's being ignored far too much, you know, is this
Nazis?
Well, just the undercurrent of the sort of heavily armed and, you know, not quite, what were they called? Not quite militia stuff like we had in the 80s with McVeigh and stuff, 80s and 90s, but, you know, just these sort of very dangerous. Right. Violent, hyper violent.
Yeah.
You know, people that kind of, well, you saw, I mean, that was there were a couple guys in DC that were arrested recently who, they weren't tied directly to the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter, but they were kind of echoing, you know, and saying that that was the start of something.
That's right.
And, you know, all sorts of other stuff. And so,
we haven't been on since that happened.
No, I know. Yeah. Oof.
That was, you know, I mean, that was a rough week, right? We saw like two white supremacy actions in the country in 1 week. And it was, you know, it's fucked up anytime that happens because, you know, even if it's not my own people, I know that I am part of a group of people that is not a beloved and cherished group by the neo-Nazis and by white supremacy dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like a shot against one is kind of a shot against all.
Yeah.
But when that happened, you know, that one hit pretty good. You know, that one hit hard because you're sitting there like, wow, a lot of people I know were doing the same thing today. And, you know, there's been times where I would have been in that building and, you know, like there was a lot going on there. And, you know, speaking of labeling people with a word that, you know, to take away humanity, like Ted Cruz tweeted something in support of like the families who lost people that day. But he kept saying, you know, something like all the Jews gathered and my heart goes out to the Jews who lost. I was like, people.
Right.
Like human beings.
You Jews. Yeah. That's like, kind of what it sounds like.
It totally was. It was like those Jews had this thing happen. Mm-hmm. They, all this. And I was like, you know, so I retweeted him and put above it, like, human beings were going to a Shabbat service.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Yeah, that was, I don't know. I mean, I have nothing to say that hasn't already been said, but, you know, there were real tears cried on that one.
Oh, yeah. It was horrible. I mean, yeah, just unspeakable. What did you think of the rabbi having Trump come, not requesting, but, you know, Trump was coming and inviting Trump and Melania? I think
that's a terrible idea.
I can't. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, on the one hand, I thought it was remarkable that he was able
to do that. Yeah.
And it showed a level of class, I guess, class, or I don't know what the word is, that I sure as hell couldn't muster under those circumstances. But I didn't know I wasn't sure. I was like, is that, because it would have made a big scene, obviously, if he'd said, no, you can't come. I mean, that would have been a huge, I don't know. Yeah. That's a hard thing to do. But
someone who once flirted with going to rabbinical school, because I think it would be awesome. I was thinking like what I would have done, and I was like, okay, well, what was his motivation? Was it just like, I'm trying to be stand up here, or was he kissing his ass? I don't really know. Was he thinking like, this will be healing in some way, and down the line will be seen as a unifying act? I don't know. I thought about all those options, but then I ultimately decided I would say, don't you dare set foot in this building.
Yeah,
no part of you is welcome.
Rabbi Guth would not be having
that. With the rhetoric that you have, and with what you have encouraged in people, until you more clearly take an anti-Nazi stance, mm-hmm. an anti-white supremacy stance, get the fuck out of my synagogue is what I would have said. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too, although I couldn't tell if I was thinking too much as just a Trump, someone who can't stand Trump. You know what I mean? Like, it's a hard thing to look at objectively.
Sure.
And I think it's easy to say, no, I wouldn't have, but then when, you know, the president of the United States, regardless of who it is, comes calling, it's not as easy, I'm sure, to create it. Because, you know, think of what that would have done.
Well, but let me also offer this point. It could have been a much more legal move, because you cannot, as a religious organization, like, no rabbi can stand at the pulpit and tell you who to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know,
sure.
So there is also the chance that he probably felt like, I don't have a fucking choice, or then I could, you know, my 501c3 charter could be in peril.
Yeah.
Which I also thought about.
Well, and also, I mean, honestly, there could have been some intimidation too, which would have been understandable, frankly. He may have been like, you know what, if I say no, we're just putting a bigger target on us. I'm going to just let him, you know.
Yeah.
Which, I would understand. I wouldn't fault them for that. I mean, especially at that juncture. But, yeah, it was interesting, though. At first I was like, there's no way they're going to let him come. And then they did, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I had the thought, and I even talked about this with some colleagues, like one of my other roles is with a film festival.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, you know, a movie theater, and that's, you know, some of the first mass shootings we saw, you know, outside of schools, that we saw that big movie theater shooting in Colorado. And that's the example people always use when they're talking about an emergency, or in like the freedom of speech conversation about accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, people go, well, yeah, but you can't yell fire in a movie theater.
Right.
You know. So, I mean, I had a conversation with my colleagues. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to not be who I am. I'm not going to, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to lie about who I am. I'm not going to not be myself. But, you know, I was thinking, like, I would never forgive myself if, like, me being who I am brought something like that into the room. First of all, if you're going to listen to me, white supremacy people who are listening, and I say this. If you're going to shoot me, if my fate is sealed and I'm going to be murdered by your hand, just do it to me privately.
Yeah.
Or do it on the street. Don't take out anybody else to get me.
It's very nice of you.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, also, I think I'm probably the token in that room. There's only one of me, so don't hurt anybody else. Like, they're not in the tribe. It's fine.
Yeah.
Also, did I ever tell you that one time I said the tribe on the air here at WGN? Because that's
that's a
joke that we make about like the 12 tribes of Israel, right?
No, I went, my best friend in college is Jewish.
Yeah, so you know what's up. You know from Jews.
Yeah, I went to Thanksgiving with him, and his uncle said I was inducted into the tribe. So,
sweet,
yeah,
okay.
It's very common, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So I said that on the air one time as a joke to Harry Tynowitz.
Yeah.
Because I was like, hey, you know, members of the tribe, we got to stick together, something like that. And listeners, several listeners, were like pointing to my sentence as like proof, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, proof of a conspiracy. They're like, ah, she slipped and admitted there's a big Jewish conspiracy and they're all in a club. I was like, dude, it's a thing. Have you read the Old Testament? There's some tribes in it. That's what we say.
Yeah, right. Oh, Lord. I never understand the Jewish conspiracy. I just don't get it. I've never understood it. I will never understand it. I'm like,
Here's the thing I always say to people. Like, anytime it comes up around like media or filmmaking or anything like that, I'm like, guys, if I controlled Hollywood and the media, I would make way more money. My shit would be way more successful than it is.
Yeah, right.
Like, I've been scrapping at this for a very long time, and it would be, I'd be doing way, way better.
My superpowers aren't working.
Right. My Jewish horns are not helping. I know, last time someone said it to me, I almost got out my WGN W-2 from last year and tweeted the number. I was so close to doing that. There is another broadcaster in Chicago who did that. She's not Jewish, but she was talking about, it was around the time like someone was talking about like elite journalists and fancy lives. Mm-hmm. And she tweeted a picture of a W-2 with $17,000 on it. She was like, I just invite you to go fuck yourself if you really think that, you know, I don't think she said it quite like that. But you know, she was like, if you really think that we're in this for the money and that we don't appreciate all the shit you give us, I would just like to show you that I, you know, bartended so I could do my dream job. So fuck off.
I found this on the floor of my limousine.
Right. Oh, look, it's my mere W-2. Yeah. So, I thought there was a lot of stuff around Pittsburgh and, you know, it's, I don't know, we're all thinking about that kind of crap now, you know, I mean, we've always thought about it. Anti-Semitism has never gone away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ever. I think it's a little, not a little louder. It's definitely happening more now. And there's data that even says there's been this uptick in, you know, uptick in incidents. And a lot of them are focused around anti-Semitism. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing I can say about Pittsburgh that hasn't been said. And the problem is I know it's going to, there'll be another. I went to the vigil that was in Chicago that evening or the next evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was standing, there was a lot of people. My own rabbi said, like, let's all meet at this corner of the plaza so we can stand there together. And that was nice. And I think we all kind of left, and a lot of us stood around talking after. It was a great pre-midterm, like, it was a great voter rally. It wasn't a healing vigil. It wasn't a vigil. Not at all. It was, a lot of people got up and said powerful things. And I was, like, live tweeting some of it because I appreciated that it existed.
Yeah.
But you know, after, I mean, it was a mixed crowd and that was cool because I think it's important to show up for each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want it to just be Jews there. I wanted other people. But I wanted kind of two things to happen. I think we all kind of needed to like grieve a thing and we didn't really get to do that in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also, you know, I started to go on a big Twitter rant about this at the time and decided against it. But, oh, the many things. Yeah. It's like saved drafts in my tweets that would make me look like a complete bitch half the time, and I don't care.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was some like, hey, in particular, like there was one conversation I had with somebody who was like, how are you doing? And I was like, thanks. I'm, you know, it's fucked up. And they're like, what are you talking about? Oh, the Pittsburgh thing? I know. I am so devastated about it. And just like, When you are speaking to somebody from a group and you are not part of that group, I totally understand is the shittiest shit to say.
Mm-hmm.
I know it comes from a good place,
mm-hmm.
but like, God damn it, it's so othering. And it's like, because you don't. You can imagine, and you should. But I really got sideways with a couple of people, like very well-intentioned not Jewish white girls that were like, I know, I totally, that's really fucked up. That's so crazy. Let's go drink. And I was like, that's not really where I'm at right now.
Yeah. You know, that's tough.
And then, you know, some people like checked in like, oh shit, that's real fucked up stuff. Hey, thinking of you, you know, like that's a different thing. And then, you know, one person in particular, I guess she kind of saw that I bristled a little, not bristled, but I was just kind of like, backed off of the conversation because I just didn't have the mental energy to get into it. She was like, oh, did you know somebody? in the Pittsburgh thing? And I was like, no, but it's, you know, it's my community and I hurt for them.
Sure.
She was like, oh, well, you didn't know anybody though. It's fine.
Oh God.
And I was just like, whoa. Can you maybe not police my grief right now?
Yeah. Well, and that's just weird. Yeah. Frankly, like under any, like that's a,
yeah.
I mean, people can be upset about tragedy that they don't have a connection to, you know?
That's right. You can say, like, that's terrible. And
I mean, a personal connection.
I feel...
You know,
yeah, right.
Well, not even a... Well, you have a... You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. You can say, like, this is my people.
Right.
You can say, like, that's not my people and that's fucked up and I grieve for this community. That's terrible. Fine. But don't say, like, I understand as well as this community.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean...
Right.
I would say, like... Jews, we're a weird little group because we've assimilated really well, you know what I mean? Like, unless you have a conversation with some of us, you don't necessarily know that in a minority group. And, you know, that we don't necessarily have, like, a visual cue.
Yeah.
Plenty of us do, but, I mean, I get plenty of, what are you? I get that all the time. But, you know, we are in this in-between area because we have assimilated so well. And so I think there's a, oh no, I watch Seinfeld. It's fine. I get you people. You know, I think there's a lot of that. And it's like, no, you don't really.
Yeah.
Thanks with that.
Yeah, I watch Seinfeld.
Please no. My favorite one time a boss said to me, cause I had like Jewish holidays were happening and I, you know, needed the time off. And she was like, long silence. And then she was like, by the way, Fiddler on the Roof was like one of my favorites.
Excellent.
Mine as well.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Yes.
And okay.
And with that, shalom.
I know. I was thinking like I need and like four or five other people in my life have said that to me. I need to come up with like the whitest Protestantist
yeah, right.
pop culture reference so I can hand it back.
Hee-haw. I like hee-haw.
Oh my God, I'm totally going to do that. Next time someone's like, oh, I loved Fiddler on the Roof. That's so funny because I really loved Hee Haw.
Are you doing okay? I know Roy Clark passed away recently. I hope your people are okay.
I hope my thoughts are with
yes,
your people.
Yes.
Oh, that's excellent.
I too enjoyed his music.
I'm totally doing that. I was going to say Sound of Music, but.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's pretty damn Caucasian.
That's pretty white. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like... Oh, my God, Huffy, that's the greatest.
Nice. I've accomplished something today.
Good job.
I feel good
about job
myself.
With the hee-haw reference. Well, I don't think we've ever gotten hee-haw on the show before.
No, yeah, that's a new... See, we're already off to a great...
All day. All right. Well, we're out of time, friends. Lovely to be back with you, Huffy.
You too.
I have missed you terribly.
Yeah, same.
And our... weekly therapy session.
Indeed.
So we shall talk to you all next time and we'll see you on the social medias as we continue to watch things unravel and possibly or not, whatever.
Implode
in DC, whatever. We'll keep talking about that. So we shall see you next time here on Guth and Huffy on Politics.